Tayo samabhavalo bho. Nikritishcha mahamate. Tabhyam krodashcha himsacha. Yadurukti svashakali. Translation. Maitreya told Vidura, O great soul, from Dumba and Maya were born greed and nikriti, or cunning. From their combination came children named Krodha, anger, and Himsa, envy. And from their combination were born Kali and his sister Durukti, or harsh speech. There's no purport, so we'll go to text 4. O greatest of all good men, by the combination of Kali and harsh speech, were born children named Mrityu, death, and Bhiti, fear. From the combination of Mrityu and Bhiti came children named Yatana, excessive pain, and Niryaya, hell. Text 5. My dear Vidura, I have similarly explained the causes of devastation. One who hears this description 3 times attains piety and washes the sinful contamination from his soul. Purport. The creation takes place on the basis of goodness, but devastation takes place because of irreligion. That is the way of material creation and devastation. Here it is stated that the cause of devastation is adharma, or irreligion. The descendants of irreligion or falsity, born one after another, like bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. All these descendants are described as signs of devastation. If a person is pious and hears about these causes of devastation, he will feel hatred for all of these, and that will cause his advancement in the life of piety. Piety refers to the process of cleansing the heart. As recommended by Lord Chaitanya, one has to cleanse the dust from the mirror of the mind, and then advancement on the path of liberation begins. Here also the same process is recommended. Malam means contamination. We should learn to despise all the causes of devastation, beginning from irreligion and cheating. And then we should be able to make advancement in the life of piety. The possibility of our attaining Krishna consciousness will be easier, and we shall not be subjected to repeated devastation. The present life is repeated birth and death, but if we seek the path of liberation, we may be saved from repeated suffering. So these 3 very graphic verses of the Bhagavatam speak extensively about adharma or irreligion. And Sri Prabhupada states in his purport that if we hear enough about this, we develop, he says, a hatred. It's even a stronger word than aversion. We develop a hatred for these things, which is favorable to our progress in Krishna consciousness. Just like Prabhupada one time, he told a sannyasi, he was giving his danda at the sannyasa initiation. Sannyas means total renunciation of this world to engage in the favorable service of the Lord. A life of sense gratification and devotional service, Prabhupada said, they go ill together. So one has to renounce the world in order to embrace the lotus feet of Krishna or devotional service. So Prabhupada told that sannyasi, never look back and think that you've left anything significant behind. And never envy the position of the materialistic sense enjoyers. So this underlies the point that to advance in Krishna consciousness, we have to develop, we have to be adverse to all these dealings in the material world. And Prabhupada says today you have to develop a hatred towards, particularly irreligious activity, adharma. And adharma is outlined very graphically here. You hear these words, descendants of irreligion, falsity, bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, harsh speech, death, fear, severe pain, and hell. I want nothing to do with that. What's the positive alternative? Dharma. Religion. But we may not be so inclined because we're conditioned. We've actually been participating in all this bluffing and this cheating and this anger and envy and quarrel, and to a certain degree it's still there in the heart. So we're kind of neither here nor there. We're in between. We don't want anything to do with all this business described here, but the goal of pure devotional service to the lotus feet of Sri Shivada Gopinath and all that entails, well, that's also difficult. We're somewhere in between. We're not here nor there, we're in between. And so, that we don't go back, we have to hear about these things repeatedly, both sides of the spectrum. We have to hear about the material world and we have to hear about pure devotional service. It doesn't just mean coming to the temple and hearing about pure devotional service. It also means hearing about bluffing and cheating and envy and quarrel. But I'm through with those things. Are we? Sometimes given the opportunity, we feel temptation. And sometimes because of a weakness, we fall back into that way of life. So this is Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam discusses graphically the materialistic way of life and it illuminates the beauty of spiritual life. So this is adharma. Today we're discussing adharma. Even the word makes devotees shudder. Adharma. Ooh. Irreligion. But maybe to get a better perspective on what is irreligion, let us discuss a little bit what is dharma or religion. We'll begin with the positive first. Of course, dharma or religion, as we say in the West, is a very vast and very broad subject matter. And as such, there's many religions in the world. Different strokes for different folks. People just begin to wake up that the goal of life is spirituality, but not everybody has the same motivation, so there's different religions for different people at different levels of advancement. Even in India, there's a huge spectrum. There's the Karmakanda section of the Vedas, which is basically rules and regulations to attain Svargalok, for a more refined life of sense gratification. That's also included in the broad spectrum of Vedic culture, the religion of India. People are confused. What's the religion of India? They go to India, they see so many things. Like, what are you guys all about? There's a huge spectrum there because there's all different types of people. And Confucius said that the longest journey begins with the first step. So you don't step right into pure bhakti, pure devotional service. Maybe it's easier just to become a karmakandi, regulated sense gratification, not the hedonistic way of life of modern society. Just start to control your mind and control your senses. Aspire for something better than what you've got. Svargalok. Of course, as devotees, you know, Svargalok. But if you're just beginning, it's better to have some regulated sense gratification. And then you have yogis who study different sections of the scriptures, including the writings of too much talking out there, including the writings of Patanjali to achieve mystic powers. And you have the jnanis, you have the monas who study other sections of the Vedas, and they study the writings of Shankaracharya. Prabhupada says Sripad Shankaracharya, because he's a partial incarnation of Lord Shiva, to become one with the Supreme. I'm simplifying it. And then we have the devotees of the Lord who aspire to become his humble servants. So all that could be, in the general term, dharma or religion. However, the Bhagavatam, which is the grantaraj of all the scriptures, no need to go through all of the Vedas. Just take the cream. You can drink the milk, because these scriptures are like milk, nectar. But the essence of the milk is the cream. So the cream of all the scriptures, which describes real religion, is Bhagavatam. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Bhagavatam is very emphatic that except for this process of devotional service to the Lord, devotees of the Lord, all these other forms of religion are not really religions at all, or lesser religions. Dharma projita kataivo traparamo niyamatsaranam shatam, Bhagavatam says, completely rejecting all religious activities which are materially motivated. This Bhagavad Purana propounds the highest truth, which is understandable by those devotees who are fully pure in heart, Bhagavatam. With all due respect, these other paths, karma kanda, mystic yoga, jnana, etc., they don't bring the full satisfaction to the heart of the practitioner. Why? Because Bhagavatam says they ignore the essential factor, the essential fact that we are, and you can't change it, part and parcel of Krishna. We're created to serve God. And outside of that service to Krishna, nothing brings a real result. To say Prabhupada makes it very simple to understand. He gives analogy. Analogies help us understand philosophy, because philosophy in Kali Yuga is a little hard to understand. Analogies bring the point home. So he said, just like a man is meant to be a man, and a woman is meant to act like a woman. If a man acts like a woman, Prabhupada said, that's artificial. And if a woman acts like a man, that's artificial. Of course, today that's not politically correct, especially here in Sydney. But we're not so concerned with being politically correct. We're concerned with the eternal philosophy of the Bhagavatam. Because to be politically correct means you have to always be, you know, changing the goal, adjusting things. What's politically correct today may not be politically correct tomorrow, or the next day, or the next year. But Bhagavatam is absolute truth. It's correct in the past, the present, and the future, whether you like it or not. Sorry. So, Jivera Supoya Krishnera Nityadas, we say it so many times, we all say, oh, I've heard that verse a minute. But that's the essence. We are spiritual personalities, and we are created to serve, as the British Air Force says. To fly, to serve. What is it called, the British Air Force? Huh? RAF, the Queen's Majesty's Royal Air Force. To fly, to serve. They take pride in that, to fly, to serve Her Majesty. I think you have some remnants of that here in Australia. Don't cry, it's all right. To fly, to serve. That they take pride in that. So we should take pride in the fact we are created to serve Krishna. And anything, no matter whatever, however you form it and make it, in a jnana, in a yogi, and karma kandi, to speak of a karmia, it's all outside the spectrum. To stay focused on them. Just like when we were kids, we went to the park and there was this revolving, well, you made it revolve, this wheel. It was kind of shaped like a cone, like this. And we'd all get on and we'd sit and we'd, somebody spin us around, and you know, the idea was not to spin off. But we soon learned that the only way not to spin off was to stay right in the center, right in the middle. Because as this big cone-shaped wheel was being spun around by our mom and dads, any kid who wasn't right in the center, eventually they'd fly off onto the grass. It was fun. We tried to go right to the middle. We had to go right to the middle. Jiver Swapoya Krishnara Nityadas. That's the safest. That's the that's natural. So Bhagavatam is quite emphatic in that. So this is this desire to serve Krishna. This is the essence. And this is dharma. Well, that's a broad spectrum in India. Real dharma, getting right down to the point. The real dharma is service. But even within that concept of religion, there's different gradations. Just like you refine gold. You have you take the nugget out of the earth and then use it for jewelry. But the most refined understanding of gold is 24 carat. You've got 9 carat. You've got 18 carat. You've got 22 carat. You've got 24 carat. No girl really wants from her boyfriend 9 carat. She'll maybe accept 18 carat. But if you get something from India, 22. And Hong Kong, 24. Yes. I just discovered. I'm shopping for Nisringadev. I love to go to Hong Kong and shop for Nisringadev. So, the Shila, Nisringa Shila. You get some jewelry for the deity there. I was shocked. I went down and I went to the jewelry shop and I saw. I said, "This is not real gold because it's too goldy looking." I said, "Sir, no, this is 24 karat." I said, "No, in India they told me that you can't have 24 karat gold because it's too soft. 22 is the highest." And he said, "That's India." They're cheating business there. So he said 99.999%, not 24, but you could say for all practical purposes 24. They've learned to add a minute trace of other metal that gives it the strength to be almost 24 karat gold. That's Krishna consciousness. Because there's different approaches to religion, but we want to refine it down to 24 carat. Religion means to be the servant of God. But some servants, they approach God just for some material benediction. That's real religion, quote unquote, but it's not refined real religion. It's gold. It's not silver or copper or lead like jnana or like mystic yoga or like karmakanda. It's gold, but it's not high quality gold, high class gold. Gold for the Nisringa Shalagram. Of course, I'm probably the only one shopping for the deity in Hong Kong, 24 karat gold, but anyway. Everyone else is buying it for other reasons. But then you've got, of course, to refine it even more, you've got people who approach God for spiritual benedictions. But then you have those who approach God with no motive. Quoted the other day, John F. Kennedy, our American president. That's not what your country can do for you. That's what you can do for your country. Are we just a little bit? That's not what God can do for you. That's what you can do for God. This is real religion because this is love. Often tell this, I won't tell the whole story, but I met an old couple. They've been together 75 years, the 75th wedding anniversary. I said, "What's your secret?" They said, "You have to give more than you take." They both said at the same time, and they were on either side. You have to give more than you take. That's the essence of love. And that's how a real marriage works. You know, you go to the wedding ceremony, you go on your honeymoon, it's all, you know, everything's coming up roses. Then you get down to the real work of living together day after day, night after, you know, it really comes down to sacrifice in the service of Guru and Krishna, of course. And you have to give more than you take for the relationship to really work. So for a relationship With Krishna to work, we have to give everything. Not give more than we take. We have to give everything to Krishna. That's the sign of a real lover. If you're happy, I'm happy. It's hard to find in the material world. It's kind of like the closest thing is the relationship between a mother and a baby. If the baby's happy, mom's happy. But in the purity concept of pure devotional service, if Krishna's happy, then automatically we'll be happy because he's a very benevolent master. Yogic shamam bahamyaham. For my devotee, what? I take, exploit, I abuse? No. For my devotee, who's my dependent, my bhakta, whatever he has, I protect. Whatever he needs, I provide. That's just the basic stuff. The internal stuff. There's a very deep, intimate, loving connection between the devotee and God. As the devotee loves God, God also loves the devotee. And all these loving exchanges, that actually, yayatma shrupashvidati, that satisfies the heart of the servant. The servant wants nothing more than just to get the blessing of the master. It's like we're all servants of Prabhupada. And I know when Prabhupada was here, it was enough for Prabhupada just to look at you and smile favorably. Wow! Everything I've been doing is well worth it. One time, Prabhupada was in our temple in Fontenay-aux-Roses, and I'd been a devotee for a couple of years. And I noticed every time Prabhupada came down from his room to the temple room, he would take off his slippers. And I could see he was kind of struggling a little bit. He'd put one foot and kick the other one off and then put the other and kick the other one off. So I thought, oh, I'm going to stay by the threshold to the temple room and I'm going to take Prabhupada's slippers off. So I got positioned there. But as I sat there, I saw another boy on the other side of the door. He had the same idea. His name was Bhagarbha. Das is my good friend. We were Sankirtan partners. Great minds think alike. No. So we were sitting there, and then he sat there, but he was quicker than me that first day, and he took Prabhupada's slippers off. So the next day, I told the temple president, you know, the slow in serving the prasadam here, we should really get it organized after Prabhupada's lecture so we can get out on Sankirtan. He said, I agree. I said, we should have somebody really smart organizing that prasadam distribution. He said, who do you suggest? I said, Bhagarbha. So the next day, I was sitting alone. And Prabhupada came down, and but this day, I was taking Prabhupada's slippers off, and I made a point of taking a slipper off to just run my hand over his lotus feet like that. And I put them on hard like that. But then Prabhupada went, good boy. That tap, those three taps, that was enough to keep me going many lifetimes. Probably the reason I'm still here. So just to get a little recognition, when Hanuman had done everything he'd done, we all know what a great sacrifice he made for Lord Ram. Ram wanted to give him a benediction. Hanuman, what can I do for you? And the servant said to the master, just give me a little embrace. So it's a famous picture of Lord Ram embracing Hanuman. And we think, oh, I'd also like the embrace of God. What to speak of the gopis who've given everything to Krishna. They sacrificed everything, even their good name and fame as chaste wives. They gave up everything for Krishna. He fully reciprocates with them by dancing a whole night of Brahma in the pleasure groves of Vrindavan. So this selfless service, this constitutes real dharma. Dharma is kind of a word, dharma. No. Sabai pum sham para dharmo yato bhaktira dhokasaje aitukhiya patiya tha yayatma shrupashita tibi. The supreme occupation for all mankind is that by which they can attain to the service of Krishna. But to make it 24 karat gold, such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to yayatma shrupashita tibi. Give complete satisfaction to the self. So that's dharma. That's religion. Of course, it's all quite philosophical. So Prabhupada made it very simple. He said, to get to this point of real religion. He said, religion means, in essence, to follow the laws of God. That's religion. Nowadays, when we speak about religion, it would be. Religion means there's the goal and there's the process. So religious practice means to follow the laws of God, because you don't come to that exalted state just by chance or by whim or by sentiment. There's a process. It's authorized process. Sadhan bhakti. Practice makes perfect. So just like by following the laws, one becomes a good citizen. So in the same way, by following the codes of religion, one becomes a good devotee. And Srila Prabhupada simplified even more by saying that the pillars of a bona fide religious system are cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. You could say they're sub-religious principles, but that's the essence of religion. You have to follow that process to get to that exalted point. So then, the opposite of that would make irreligion or adharma. So what is the opposite of cleanliness and truthfulness and mercy and austerity, the pillars of religion? What's the opposite of that? Now, we've heard it many times. Meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. These are the four activities, I'm not going to call them principles, these are the four activities that destroy religion. Pretty simple. Meat eating destroys mercy. Intoxication destroys austerity, because people who take intoxication, they're not austere at all. Illicit sex destroys cleanliness, which means cleanliness of the heart, cleanliness of the mind, the ability to focus on Krishna. And gambling destroys truthfulness. So nowadays, if you give people the choice, they'll openly accept meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, and gambling. They're not inclined to accept the principles of cleanliness, truthfulness, mercy, and austerity. It's just too hard nowadays. Even if they practice a religion of sorts, these things still go on. They find having to follow the strict regime of religion to be too restrictive, too restraining. And they are restrictive and they are restraining, but the result that one gains by following that strict way of life, religious way of life, far outweighs the pain that one undergoes following them. There was a famous coach in America. He was a football coach, and he was actually coaching when I was a young boy playing football on the high school team. I was a left end, and my best friend was a quarterback, John Ferguson. And we had a play that we'd always win the game with. It was our kind of a secret play. We'd only do it once in a while when we were really tight and the score was really close. And, you know, he was a lefty. John was a lefty. So I would go out and do a left turn in the end zone. We'd get down to the end zone and I'd go down and just turn left. And because he was left-handed, he could just move a little bit with his left hand, throw the ball. It wasn't like an over like that. You know, like usually the quarterbacks are right-handed, so they'll go and they'll throw the ball like that. But he was a lefty, southpaw. So I'd just go five steps to the left, and he'd go. We'd practice it day and night on the lawn of my house. And he'd throw, poof, we'd always win the game like that. The football. Anyway, freshman, sophomore, junior, and then senior year, I wouldn't cut my hair, so the coach fired me, kicked me off the team. And they lost the championship. But we played hard. We worked hard at it, really hard. That's how we got it down. We'd go home, and when other kids were like just fooling around, taking hikes or going swimming, you know, we'd do that same play over and over. I could do it in my sleep. I could do it blindfolded. We'd always win the game. So no pain. So Vince Lombardi, who was a coach of the Green Bay Packers, I think that's correct if I remember. Because one time I complained to John. I said, so we do this every day after school. Why don't we do something else? He was a smart guy, my friend. He said, Brian, he said, no pain, no gain. Well, that's a good one. Where'd you get that? So I was watching TV the other day, and Vince Lombardi said it to the Green Bay Packers. No pain, no gain. To achieve anything great in this world, one has to practice discipline. To get through school, you know as well as I will, probably you know better than me, because anyway. You have to study, stay home and study and focus and work and career. You really want to get ahead because there's so much competition. You have to be disciplined, focused. So what to speak about the greatest goal, greater than a touchdown in the end zone, greater than a degree in school, greater than a fabulous career. What's the greatest goal? Krishna consciousness. Logically, one can conclude how much discipline must be there. Although the heart may say, go out and enjoy, the intelligence is saying something different. No. Stick to the rules. Stick to the regular principles. And because we gain so much from our religion, our religious practice, we get that padam drishta nivartante. We don't have any trouble following these rules and regulations. Of course, we've seen devotees do have trouble, but generally that we can attribute that to the fact that they're not getting the taste by chanting. Any problems that you have in Krishna consciousness, you can usually trace back to the quality or the quantity of your chanting. I've seen it time and time again. At least with my disciples, that's kind of, I have an in-depth study or view of the process through having so many students or disciples. Usually there's some trouble there and we're talking, what about this problem? I said, are you chanting your rounds? No, but what does that have to do with it? Well, Prabhu, if you're not eating, you'll get all kinds of eating disorders. Goes right back down to that fact. You're chanting. I'm chanting. What's the quality of the chanting? If we're strict in the rules and regulations and we're giving our heart and soul to chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Both in our private time, means on the order of Guru and Krishna, us with God. Because when you sit down and you're chanting, that's your private time with God. You're sitting down and you're singing His name. You're calling out to Him with your heart and soul. That's your private time with Krishna. And even your public time. Public time means that you go out in the streets and you chant very loudly. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. If you get that padam drishta nivartante, you won't think that these principles are restrictive or restraining. No, you'll see them as Krishna describes them. We should always see things anyway, as Krishna says. He says, regulative principles of freedom. Raja dvesha vimuktashtu vishayan indriyash charan atma vasyar vidheyatma prashadam adigachati. He says, but a person free from all attachment and aversion and able to control his senses through regulative principles of freedom can obtain the complete mercy of the Lord. So again, religion means, Prabhupada, he's making it, boiling the milk down. Religion means to follow the laws of God. That's for the common people. To make it, religion means to follow the laws given by God. And they're very clear. There's the rules and regulations. The rules means the restrictive things, and regulation means the positive stuff. The rules means, you know, the four regs. And the regulations, the rules of the regulation means all the good stuff, the happy stuff, like chanting and dancing and feasting and hearing Bhagavatam. That's the regulations. The rules are the taking care of the negative and the regulations, all the positive stuff. Put it together, make a nice combo like that. Param drishta nivartante. We have no problem following the strict process of Krishna consciousness. Of course, it's not just by following those rules, which Prabhupada says constitute religion. It's not, you don't become a self-realized soul. You don't become religious. You don't become self-realized by abstaining from that. That's actually the chanting that does that. To make your choice, the discipline or the unrestricted way of life. Privitti marg or nivritti marg. Privitti marg means the unrestricted life of sense gratification. If it feels good, do it. Privitti marg. And nivritti marg means the regulated path of sense control, study of the scripture, service to Guru and Krishna. Nivritti marg means the path of renunciation, which culminates in pure devotional service to the Lord. You take the high road, I'll take the low road. You'll go to heaven and I'll go to hell. But that irreligious life, which is so prominent, which is in our modern, what does it end? You have filina parichate, you have to judge something by the result. Don't judge something just by what you see here and now. Judge something by the end result. This is logic. Filina parichate. So where does the life, the unrestricted life of adharma, irreligion, lead one? Bluffing, cheating, greed, cunning, anger, envy, quarrel, heart speed. Where does it go? Severe pain in hell. Sounds like a Christian lecture. Repent! Or you shall burn in hell. Well, that's true. But hell doesn't necessarily mean the nether regions of the universe. You can be in hell just here in Sydney. I saw a beautiful girl yesterday walking across the street, crying, her eyes out. She looked like she had everything, but something had gone amiss. And it was just a contrast to what you usually see in Sydney, like especially on Saturday night. We're out there partying, standing outside the cafes and the bars and the pubs and drinking and things. This one girl left the party, and she was walking, and she was all disheveled. A beautiful girl, but tears streaming down her eyes. She walked right past the car. So, this is the irreligious way of life. As fun as it may seem, it's what someone once called cheap thrills. And the end result is devastating. Because the opposite of our cleanliness and truthfulness and mercy and austerity is meat eating, illicit sex, intoxication. Meat eating brings cancer, illicit sex brings disease, unwanted children, superficial relationships, intoxication brings delusion, destruction of the mind and the body, gambling brings addiction, loss of heart and Filina parichate, judge something by the result. Just push the forward button on the video. What you're doing now, push the forward button on the video. Where does it end up? Sometimes people say to me, you don't look 60. I said, I'm 60. You don't look 60. How's it possible? I said, celibacy. It's true. Celibacy. Such a reward comes from controlling the senses like that. Celibacy. Well, I can't do that, so let's look at a picture of you when you're 60. The whole way of life of Krishna consciousness brings that natural joy. So it all makes sense on paper. Prabhupada said, before coming to Krishna consciousness, all my disciples looked dirty, unclean, unhappy, but now they've taken up this process, this religious process, and they look like they've come from Vaikuntha. Change of heart should be there. The result will be there. So you have to make your choice. It's a question, what did you say, Father Day? It's a question of choice. To make your choice. So, although the cheap thrills of adharma look very attractive, You wind it, what's the end result? Oh, I don't want that. Bhavananda Prabhu gave me a picture the other day. And it was an old lady in a wheelchair. He said, guess who that is? I said, I don't know. He said, Elizabeth Taylor. She looked so haggardy and, you know, she had a fur coat on and glasses and lipstick. And it's, you forward Srila Prabhupada when he was in his late 70s, and we were discussing how Prabhupada looks so effulgent and eternal, and this is the result of Krishna consciousness. I don't want to talk about myself, but last night after the program, we were walking away, and the lady said, this was such a nice program. She said, I enjoyed it so much, and she said, I learned so much, she said. I learned so much. That was like really satisfying. So I said, well, what did you like most about the program? There was the dance, and then there was the music, and there was the theater, and the food, and what did you like most? She was an old lady. She was in her 70s, actually. She was a Russian lady. She was sitting in the front row during the kirtan going. I said, what do you like most about our program? She said, you. I said, no, I mean, what? She said, I said, the music. She said, you. That's enough, she said. Pralina Parishate. So that's not me, that's all of us. That's our whole International Society for Krishna Consciousness. By Prabhupada's mercy, we have this wonderful life. We've somehow been tricked out of the path of pravritti marg, sense gratification, to the path of renunciation. But more than that, the positive life, the regulations of chanting Hare Krishna. We're practical proof that religion can flourish even in the age of irreligion. This is described, Kali Yuga is the age of irreligion. The other three ages, they're religious. This is the age of irreligion, adharma, where these things are, what Prabhupada mentions here in the purport, are all very prominent. But by the mercy of Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya, we can reverse the tide, so to speak. And people can take up the strict way of devotional service and be happy. Religion can actually be, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, joyfully performed. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki O Premanandi.